blue letters against a grey swirling mist. Walt Disney Productions presents The Fox and the Hound, based on the book by Daniel P. Mannix. Through the mist, the shadowy outlines of rocks and trees appear against thin, weak sunlight. Story: Larry Clemens, Ted Berman, David Michener, Peter Young, Bernie Mattinson, Steve Hewlett, Earl Kress, Vance Gerry. Creative assistant to the producers, Melvin Shaw. The sun lights the tops of trees. Inside, the forest is dim and murky. With the voice talents of Mickey Rooney as Todd, Kurt Russell as Copper, Pearl Bailey as Big Mama, Jack Albertson, Amos Slade, Sandy Duncan, Vixie, Jeanette Nolan, Widow Tweed, Pat Buttram, Chief, John Fiedler, Porcupine, John McIntyre, Badger, Dick Bacallion, Dinky, Paul Winchell, Boomer, Keith Mitchell, Young Todd, Corey Feldman, Young Copper, and Squeaks the Caterpillar. Yellow sunshine slowly fills the forest. Supervising animators, Randy Cartwright, Glenn Keane, Cliff Nordberg, Ron Clements, Frank Thomas, Ollie Johnston. Character animation, Ed Gombert, John Musker, Dale Oliver, Jerry Reese, Ron Husband, Dicken Lucas, David Block, Jeffrey J. Varab, Chris Buck, Chuck Harvey, Hendel S. Butoy, Phil Nibelink, Daryl Van Sitters, Michael Sodino, Philip Young. Where the trees are thickest, the forest is dark and motionless. Effects animators, Ted Kearsey, Jack Boyd, Don C. Paul. Coordinating animators, Walt Stanchfield, Leroy Cross, Dave Suding, Chuck Williams. Key assistants, Tom Ferriter, Sylvia Mattinson. Hundreds of tiny dewdrops glint and sparkle on the threads of a spider's web. Through the web, the pale sun shines on a path between two outcrops of rock. From the right, a fox races into view, carrying a cub in her mouth. The sleek red fox puts the cub down, glances up the path ahead, looks behind, snatches up the cub and sprints onward. The fox tears through the wood, low to the ground, her bushy tail with its white tips streaming out behind her. Colour styling, Jim Coleman. Background painting, Daniela B. Lecker, Brian Sayburn, Kathleen Swain. Technicolor R. Production managers, Edward Hampson, Don A. Duckwall. Sound, Herb Taylor. Editors, James Melton, Jim Coford. Assistant directors, Don Hahn, Mark A. Hester, Terry L. Noss. Music editors, Evelyn Kennedy, Jack Wadsworth. The fox races along a river bank, with her reflection racing in the water beside her. Musical score composed and conducted by Buddy Baker. Orchestration, Walter Sheets. Co-producers, Wolfgang Rietherman, Art Stevens. Executive producer, Ron Miller. Directed by Art Stevens, Ted Berman, Richard Rich. The fox reaches a cliff with a railway viaduct in the distance. She leaps over to a grassy hillside and races across a meadow. Behind her in the morning mist stand two farmhouses. The fox slips under the rail of a wooden fence, stops and looks back. A fat, sleepy owl with a white collar of feathers, V-shaped in front like a bib, and two long brown feathers like ears, peeks from a hole in the big oak tree. She waddles out to get a better view of the fox below. The fox gazes back across the meadow, then gently places the cub in a tussock of grass beside a fence post. She licks its face tenderly, looks up, and streaks away, disappearing over the top of a hill. Birds fly up from the thick grass. The owl reels back and covers her eyes. Then she floats down to the cub on her wide brown wings. The cub backs away. From behind the post, it peeps up at the owl, wide-eyed and open-mouthed.
You poor little fella. It's all right. Big Mama's here.
Big Mama reaches out to the cub, which backs away again around the post, almost backing into her. She gently strokes it with her wingtip, then looks up.
You know, you're gonna need some caring for. Now let's see, darling.
The cub creeps shyly towards her.
You need,
Eyes closed, the cub nuzzles Big Mama.
Oh, no. Not me, not Big Mama now. Now, I'm thinking, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, aha! Now, don't you move, honey.
Big Mama tucks the cub into the grass.
Big Mama's gonna be right back.
The cub watches her fly off, his ears pricked and mouth agape. On a branch stands a tall, thin woodpecker with ginger head, black wings and white body.
Good work, Boomer. We'll get him this time.
A small brown and yellow bird peers into a hole.
Shh. I think he's in there.
Phew. Am I glad I found you boys. There's no time to lose. I need your help now. Come on.
Let's go, Boomer. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Shucks.
The woodpecker leaves last, and a little green caterpillar sticks his head out of the hole. The three birds land on the fence. The woodpecker looks at the cub.
Oh, poor little guy.
Don't you worry now. We're going to find someone to look after you.
The little bird's bright eyes take in the neat yellow and green farmhouse.
Hey, I think I got an idea.
The other two huddle round him.
That's a good idea.
Okay, Boomer, now you know what to do.
Yeah, leave it to me.
Boomer flies over to the green front door of the farmhouse and perches on the brass handle.
Who is it? Ooh. Well, I was sure I heard someone knocking. Oh, dear! My laundry!
Big Mama and Dinky are flying off with a pair of large pink bloomers.
Oh, here! Stop it!
Widow Tweed hitches up her green dress and trots after them.
Oh, you pesky bird! Will you come back here? Oh, stop!
The birds drop the bloomers over the cub.
Well, I wonder what got into those birds.
Widow Tweed picks up the bloomers.
Well, bless my soul! Wait, it's a baby fox.
The cub backs under the bloomers.
Oh, hello, little fella. I wonder where its mother is. Come on now, I'm not going to harm you. No. Oh, isn't that... Oh, my, you're a feisty little rascal, aren't you? There, now, calm down. No, I just can't leave you out here all alone.
The grey-haired widow picks up the cub, wraps it in her white apron, and takes it inside.
Not so fast. Now. Not so fast.
She bottle feeds the cub like a baby.
Oh, my. You're such a little toddler. Say, that's what I'm going to call you. Todd. You know Todd? I'm not going to be so lonesome anymore.
The three birds watch happily through the window. A rickety open truck bumps along the track to the next door farmhouse. A big bony grey dog lying outside wakes up. The hunter, with shaggy hair and moustache, in a sheepskin coat and a hat with the brim pushed up at the front, holds up a small sack.
I got a surprise for you, Chief, old boy. No, take it easy. Well, how's this for a hunting dog?
The hunter pulls out a pale brown long-eared puppy.
He's just a little runt now, but he'll grow.
The pup licks the hunter's nose. He drops it. The pup licks Chief's nose, and Chief rears back, scowling, and glares at the hunter.
May as well get used to him, Chief.
The pup scrabbles at Chief's front leg.
You you to look after from now on.
The hunter heads for the house, and Chief heads for his kennel, an old barrel lying on its side. The pup slips in first and grins up at Chief, wagging his whole rear end. Chief hooks the pup out with his forepaw and lies down, half in and half out of the barrel. The pup looks up trustingly and lies down with him, using one long grey foreleg as a pillow. Chief glances about with embarrassment and settles down. He looks at the pup again, smiles, and goes back to sleep. Morning. In her barn, Widow Tweed sits milking a big brown cow. Todd scampers in and jumps up at the cow's twitching tail. The cow turns.
Todd, stop pestering Abigail. Abigail, you're going to have to be patient with Todd. He's one of the family now. Now I know.
Todd sits up and the widow squirts milk into his mouth. He licks his lips.
I declare I never will get my chores done.
Todd scrambles up to a nest where a plump white chicken roosts contentedly with her chicks. The chicken hurls herself at the fox and Todd darts underneath Abigail.
Easy, Abigail. Steady, old girl, steady. There, there.
Ears flat, Todd slinks away.
Todd, you come here. I said, come here. Just look what you've done.
Widow Tweed picks up Todd by the scruff of his neck and points at the spilt milk. He looks up at her, his head on one side.
Now, don't try to butter me up. Oh, Todd, I just can't stay angry with you. You little imp. Now, run along and play. Go on, and try to stay out of mischief.
Todd trots into the farmyard and sits, his white underparts and white tail tip gleaming in the sunshine. He gazes around and up.
Dinky and Boomer. Maybe they want to play.
Dinky and Boomer land in a big oak tree.
Is this it, Boomer?
Oh, sure, Dinky. This is the place. I never forget a tree. I never forget a tree.
He won't get away this time.
Dinky spots a hole in the trunk and hops up to it.
Hold it, Boomer. I think I hear something.
Oh, that's him all right, Dinky. That's him all right.
Shh, shh. Get ready, Boomer. I can hear him moving. Listen.
That's funny. Oh, I don't hear nothing.
Shh, quiet.
Boomer squashes Dinky against the trunk.
Oh, that's him all right, Dinky. That's him all right.
Button your beak, will you? I'll check it out. Would you look at that?
Inside, Squeaks the caterpillar lounges on a leaf like a hammock.
Okay, Boomer. He's right. There. Yikes, watch it.
Boomer pulls back with a piece of bark stuck on his beak. Squeaks peeks over the bark right into Boomer's eyes.
Why, you...
Squeaks bolts back into the hole.
Hey, look, Boomer, shock it to him.
Hiya, fellas. What you doing? Wanna play?
Stay out of this, kid. This don't concern you.
Let him have it.
Boomer breaks through the trunk. Squeaks escapes, humping his way to the end of a branch.
Don't let the creep get away.
You can take him, Boomer. Give him a left, a right. Let him have it.
Faced with a dizzying drop, Squeaks dives down another hole.
Which way did he go?
This way.
Dinky perches on Boomer's head. They peer up and down. Squeaks pops up behind them.
There he is.
Boomer drills through the branch. It drops from beneath his feet and he plummets down.
to you. Golly.
Oh, shucks. I think I bent my beak.
Now see what you done? You cost us our breakfast.
I cost us our breakfast? It was your fault.
What are you talking, my fool?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You were the one who let it
out.
You were the one
for breakfast?
Oh, yeah, well, if it wasn't for you,
yeah.
I'd get
away. Todd spies a butterfly and bounces after it through a field and over a low stone wall. He jumps at the butterfly, which stays just out of reach. It flaps over Chief and the pup, who are lapping from a big bowl. The light brown pup looks up, frowning, and sniffs the air.
Hey there, Copper. What you sniffing at?
Something I never smelled before, Chief.
Let me see. Ah, shucks, that's easy. The master's just cooking grits and fat back. You ought to know that.
Mm-mm. That's not what I smell. I don't know, Chief. It's something else.
Sonny, you got a lot of learning to do about a sniffing and a smelling. Hey, where you going?
I want to find out what that smell is.
Okay, Copper, but the master ain't gonna like you wandering off.
I won't get lost, Chief. I can smell my way back.
Copper waddles off, nose to the ground.
Can't tell these young whippersnappers anything.
On the other side of the farm fence, Todd skips after the butterfly. He charges through a hollow log, then springs on top of it. From there, he stares down at Copper, nose down, tail up, who follows his trail into the log, then pokes his nose up through a hole.
What you smelling?
I'm on the trail, son.
Trail what?
I don't know yet.
Why, it's you. What do you do that for?
We're supposed to do that when we find what we've been tracking.
I'm a fox. My name's Todd. What's your name, kid?
Mine's Copper. I'm a hound dog.
Gee, I bet you'd be good playing hide and seek. You want to try it, Copper?
I use my nose.
Sure. Okay, now go ahead and close your eyes and count.
1, 2, 3.
No, Copper, you can't peek. Oh. Now start again.
1, 2.
Todd circles a tree stump, then jumps up onto it. Big Mama watches them.
My, my. Look at that. Fox and a hound, playing together.
Copper sniffs out the cub, and Todd careers away. Copper snuffles after him.
When you're the best of friends, having so much fun together, you're not even aware you're such a funny pair. You're the best of friends. Life's a happy game. You could clown around forever. Neither one of you sees your natural boundaries. Life's one happy game.
Copper!
Yeah, I gotta go.
The hunter frowns at Copper and points at his barrel.
If only the world wouldn't get in the way. If only people would just let you play. They say you're both the fools. You're breaking all the rules. They can't understand the magic of your wonderland.
Morning.
When you're the best of friends,
Copper!
Sharing all that you discover. When these moments have passed, will that friendship last? Who can say there's a way? Oh, I hope it never ends.
Come on, Copper.
'Cause you're the best of friends.
Copper emerges from his barrel, looks back at the farmhouse, and tiptoes past the nose of the sleeping chief. he and Todd romp into the woods.
Copper, you're my very best friend.
And you're mine too, Todd.
And we'll always be friends forever, won't we?
Yeah, forever.
Hey, let's go swimming.
Give me a head start and I can beat ya.
Copper splashes along on his back and Todd ducks him. Big Mama watches from above and gets splashed too.
Dagnabbit, that Copper pup's gone straight off again. Come on, Chief. If that little rascal's gonna make me a good hunting dog, he's gonna learn the mind.
Copper looks round.
Copper! Get over here! Copper!
I gotta go home.
You have to? We're having too much fun.
I gotta. He sounds awful mad.
I'll see you tomorrow. And don't forget.
I won't.
Morning. Against high clouds, Copper sits mournfully beside his barrel, brow furrowed, staring at the ground. Todd appears from behind a bush.
Hey, Copper, what happened to you? Why didn't you? Golly, you're all tied up.
Yeah, and it's no fun either. The master says I gotta stay home.
Well, we can play around here then.
No, now it's old Chief over there.
Is that him making that awful noise?
He keeps me awake at night.
Chief's rear sticks out of his barrel.
Oh, don't go in there. He can get awful mean. He's cranky. Gee, will he ever big?
He's serious, isn't as big as yours, Copper.
That's not the part you gotta worry about.
Wow, look at those teeth.
That's the part you gotta worry about.
I'm gaining on.
Chief's legs twitch.
He won't get away now.
Get up, Todd.
No, he's having a dream. He's chasing something.
Copper covers his eyes.
it's a big old badger.
Copper, he's chasing the badger.
No, it ain't a badger. It's a fox.
Chief bangs his head and Copper hides. Todd scrambles out, Chief just behind him, teeth gleaming. The rope tied to Chief's barrel stops him for a moment. Then the barrel moves too.
Run!
Todd races into the chicken house. Chief and the barrel tear after him. Chief sticks his head inside the house and the barrel catches up with his tail, hard. Frantic white chickens erupt from their house, followed by Todd, who runs right over Chief's nose. They all pelt past the hunter's house, and he hurtles outside with his gun, pulling up his jeans. His jeans fall down. Todd dashes past the hunter, followed by Chief and the barrel, which has scooped up the chickens. The hunter misses Todd, and the barrel knocks him over. His jeans fall down again. Chief makes a tight turn, but the barrel wraps itself around a tree, nearly strangling the big dog. The chickens escape. Todd hides in a mailbox with Dinky and Boomer. The hunter blasts at the box. They scatter. Todd bounds over a stream but can't scramble up the far bank. Chief lands almost on top of him. The barrel falls into the stream, fills up and sinks. The rope yanks Chief back into the barrel. Chief struggles towards Todd, who looks over to the yard, where Widow Tweed is driving away in her old pickup, loaded with milk churns. Chief slowly hauls the heavy barrel towards Todd, who gallops along the dirt road after the widow. The hunter kicks off his jeans and, wearing just his granddad vest and long johns, clambers into his truck and joins the chase. Copper watches wide-eyed from the limit of his rope. Todd races alongside the pickup, on top of the stone wall beside the road. Todd springs into the back of the pickup. The hunter takes aim. Milk spurts from the punctured churns. The widow stops, jumps out, and plants herself in the middle of the road. Hands on hips, she glares at the hunter, who swerves wildly and stops just in front of her.
I'm a slave, you trigger-happy lunatic! Give me that gun!
She snatches it from him.
My radiator! Why, you blasted female!
Hold it! Right there!
Watch it! That thing's loaded!
No, it ain't loaded!
Dagnabbit, woman, your thieving fox was after my chickens!
Rubbish and poppycock! I don't believe it. He wouldn't hurt a thing.
You calling me a liar, you muddle-headed female? I saw it happen!
Amos Lay, that temper of yours is going to get you into a lot of trouble someday!
Temper? Temper, woman, you ain't seen my temper! If I ever catch that fox on my property again, I'll blast him! And next time, I won't miss.
On a sunny autumn morning, Todd looks wistfully out of the kitchen window, while Widow Tweed stirs a pot on her big black stove.
Poor little tyke. It's a shame I have to keep him cooped up.
Todd scratches at the door.
Oh, Todd, stop looking at me like that. It's not my fault, you know. You caused a lot of trouble yesterday.
Todd rushes back to the window.
Oh, now what are they up to? Why, it looks like Amos is going on a hunting trip. A long one from the looks of it. Well, good riddance.
Amos's truck is loaded up. Chief stands on the front seat, paws on the windscreen, watching Amos swing the starting handle. While the widow's back is turned, Todd sneaks out of the window.
Doggone meddling female, shooting up my radiator. God blame it. Get going. Well, that's more like it. Keep running, old girl. Well, copper, me and old chief are going to teach you all about hunting. Yes, sir. And it's about time, too. Attaboy. Yeah, you're really going to like tracking down those varmints for me.
Amos unties Copper, who bounces happily over to the truck and climbs up beside Chief.
Get in the back half pint. You gotta earn your right to sit up front.
Copper hops over into the back.
Well, boys, we're getting out of here till next spring.
The truck passes under the brown leaves of the old oak tree. Copper spots Todd, watching sadly from beside the empty barrels. Big Mama floats down onto one of the barrels.
Todd, honey, what are you doing over here?
Gee, I just wanted to say goodbye to Copper. But I'm too late.
Well, what did you plan to do if you ran to old Chief?
Ah, Chief. I can outfox that dumb old dog anytime.
Todd, now hold it just 1 minute. Didn't you learn anything yesterday? Now you listen good, Todd, because it's either education or elimination.
Now, if you're so foxy and old Chief's so dumb, then why does that hound get the fox on the run? Because he's got the hunter, and the hunter's got the gun. Kablam! Elimination. Lack of education. If you pile around with that copper hound, you'll wind up hanging on the wall. Keep your nose to the wind, and you'll keep your skin, because you won't be home when the hunter comes to call.
Oh, Big Mama, I know Copper would never track me down. Well, Copper, he's my best friend.
Your best friend. Now, Copper's gonna do what he's been told. Suppose the chase a little fox in an old foxhole. Then along comes a hunter with a buckshot load.
Kabam!
Elimination.
Lack of education.
You better believe it, Todd. Yes, sirree.
You mean Copper is gonna be my enemy?
Hey, Kip, you better step over here and take a good look.
Dinky and Boomer push open the door of Amos's shed.
Why, that's awful. Those poor things.
Animal skins are stretched out on the shed walls.
I'm sorry, Todd. Honey, Copper's gonna come back a trained hunting dog. A real killer.
Oh no, not my friend Copper. He won't ever change.
I hope you're right, Todd.
And we'll keep on being friends forever. Won't we, Big Mama?
Darling, forever is a long, long time. And time has a way of changing things.
Brown leaves flutter from the trees as winter arrives. The green grass turns yellow, and frost whitens fallen logs. Icicles form on a miniature waterfall in the stream. Snowflakes drift down slowly. Soon the land is blanketed in white, and the wind tugs at the coat of a scarecrow. Still the snow falls. A dollop of snow falls from a branch. The new pile shakes and heaves, and two thin black antennae poke up through it. Squeaks the caterpillar stands up on his tail to look around. He spies the warm glow of light from Widow Tweed's house and humps his way towards it. Dinky and Boomer huddle under the scarecrow's hat.
Oh, Jiminy's. It's sure turning to cold.
I'm freezing my...
Hey, it's that fuzzy wine. Let's get it.
George!
Squeaks dives into another heap of snow, followed by the birds.
Hey, Dinky, quick, over here! I got him!
Boomer hauls on something thin and black.
Do I look like a wine? That's who we're after. Come on!
Dinky peeps in at the keyhole that Squeaks has just wiggled through.
Look at that little creep. Warm and cozy by the fire.
Let me take a look. How do you like that guy? It's just snug as a bug. While we're out here freezing our beaks off.
Well, yakking and shivering ain't getting us anywhere. We'll get that no good wine when we come back.
Shucks.
They fly up to the big oak tree.
So long, Big Mama.
Oh, yeah, we're going south for the winter.
Goodbye, boys. See you next spring.
Boomer and Dinky quickly disappear in the thick snow. Todd stares out of the kitchen window at the empty snow-covered barrels, and his ears droop. Amos tramps through thick snow in a pine forest. He carries his gun, and Chief plods beside him. 10 yards behind, Copper plunges from one of Chief's big footprints to the next. He misses one and sinks into the snow. Wearily, Chief goes back, hauls Copper out by his collar, and plods on, carrying the pup. At night, light shines from the window of Amos's hunting cabin onto the falling snow. On a sunny day, Amos follows the dogs. Copper is bigger now, and his legs are much longer. Chief sniffs a twig. So does Copper. Chief spots a rabbit. Copper bounds after the rabbit and goes slipping and sliding across a frozen pond. His front legs give way and he crashes onto his chin. Chief slowly shakes his head. At night, animal skins are stretched on wooden frames outside the cabin. By day, Copper, now even longer-legged, leads the hunt, his nose to the ground. He follows a scent off to the right. Chief ignores him and goes straight on. Copper stops and stares at a snow-laden fir tree. Feathers flutter down, and Amos pats Copper on the head. Chief scowls. At the cabin, Amos ties down a stack of skins on the truck. Copper sits up on the front seat. Chief sees him, his jaw drops, then he glowers at Copper. The truck jolts along a track, past patches of snow. Big Mama's tree is covered with fresh green leaves. She shoves a pile of old brown leaves out of her hole and onto the ground. They fall on Todd.
Well, look who's here. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Todd, honey. I hope
you... Hiya, Big Mama. We're back. We flew all the way.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Welcome home, boys. You know, it's been kind of lonesome around here without you little rascals.
Hi, fellas.
Hey, who's that?
Hey, this can't be that scrawny little squirt we found by the fence post, can it? Come on.
I can't believe my eyes.
Oh, it's me, all right.
Hey, looky there. He's got himself a real fancy collar.
Hey, just look at this bushy tail. Beautiful.
Oh, come on, cut it out. You guys are always teasing me.
Widow Tweed carries a dead pot plant out of the house. Squeaks peers around the stem.
Hey, it's him, Squeaks. We'll see you later, kid. We gotta take care of some unfinished business.
I can't understand. It was so healthy.
She waters the plant.
There. That ought to perk it up.
Now, where'd he go? Where'd he go?
He's going up the drainpipe. I'll head him off. Okay, Boomer. We got him trapped. Let him have it.
Dinky reels back into the gutter.
Did you gotta get him?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I.
Come on.
Squeaks escapes along a phone line and squeezes under a glass insulator.
A caterpillar under glass. Oh, boy.
Boomer's head feathers are frazzled into a ginger afro.
Holy smoke.
Squeaks glows as he humps along the phone line.
Hey, how's he do that, Dinky? How's he do that?
Amos's truck bumps down the track.
I ain't got no job, I'm a hunting man, and I'd rather have a dog than a dollar. So let's go banjo ring-a-ling a ding ho, give a little hoot and a holler.
Oh, come on, Chief. Just because you're not sitting up front, that ain't no reason to be a sorehead. Shucks, if it weren't for you, Copper'd never turned into a good hunting dog. Yes, sirree. Now I got me the best two dogs there is. Right, Copper? Isn't he something, Chief?
Chief covers his ears.
Look, Big Mama, Copper's back. Boy, has he grown big.
Uh-huh. And look at that big pile of skins he helped track down.
I know, Big Mama, he's a hunting dog now.
You're right, and you're a fox.
Oh, that won't make any difference. Copper's gonna be glad to see me.
Well, honey, just don't get your hopes too high.
Look, don't worry. I'll be careful. I'll go over tonight when Chief and the Hunter are sound asleep.
Evening. Against a background of grey cloud, Chief lies in his barrel while Copper drinks.
Boy, it's great to be back home, isn't it, Chief?
Huh.
Oh, come on, Chief. You aren't still sore, are you? Hey, come on, let's scuffle. We ain't scuffled in a long time. Come on, Chief, let's have some fun.
Oh, lay off, Copper, you overgrown pup, you. Oh, let go. Dagnabbit, let go, I say.
Okay.
You know that was your trouble on the hunt?
Ah, come on, old-timer. You treat me like a pup, you know that? Well, I think I done real good tracking down them varmints for you.
Smelling and tracking ain't enough. You gotta think nasty.
Okay, I know.
At night, the dogs lie half in, half out of their barrels.
Copper. Hey, Copper. It's me, Todd. I thought that was you, Todd. I heard you coming. Boy, you've really grown.
You have too, Copper. I saw you coming back with Chief and the Hunter.
It's great to see you, Todd. But you know, you shouldn't be over here. You're gonna get us both into a lot of trouble.
Hey, look, I just wanted to see you. We're still friends, aren't we?
Todd, those days are over. I'm a hunting dog now.
Todd's ears droop, showing their black tips, and his head drops.
You'd better get out of here before old Chief wakes up.
Oh, Chief. He doesn't worry me.
Todd, I'm serious. You're fair game as far as he's concerned.
Chief jumps at Todd.
Is that fox again?
Todd streaks into the forest. Widow Tweed in a blue shawl and slippers and carrying a lamp opens her door.
Oh, no! No! They're after Todd!
After him, boys! Go get him!
Todd ducks aside and crouches behind a thick bush. Chief gallops by, stops, and turns to see Todd skim away to the right. Todd flies through the dark forest low to the ground. The long-striding Chief closes the gap between them, and Amos pounds along behind him, his gun in one hand. Todd crosses a fallen tree high above the stream and leaps a gap between two rocks. Chief's huge white fangs only just miss Todd's tail as they scramble up a cliff. Chief slips and Todd gains a second or two. They charge up the mountain until they reach the railway viaduct. Chief charges past a stack of railway sleepers. Todd sticks his head out from under the sleepers, then ducks back again. Copper passes, turns back, and glares in at Todd.
Copper!
Todd, I don't want to see you get killed.
Drag him down, boy!
I'll let you go this one time.
Copper follows Chief.
Don't lose him!
Copper and Amos disappear. Todd slips out and races along the railway track. Chief leaps out in front of Todd. Todd turns and sprints for the railway viaduct.
There they are! Old Chief's got him on the run!
Todd falls flat in front of the train.
Jump, Chief! Jump!
Chief bounces off a boulder and his body twists and somersaults into the river far below. Todd peers down at Chief sprawled across two rocks. Chief's eyes open and close again.
Chief! Chief?
Copper tries to lift Chief's head, but it flops back into the water.
Oh, no! No!
He looks up and sees Todd high above on the viaduct.
Todd, if it's the last thing I do, I'll get you for this.
In her blue shawl, green dress, and big brown boots, Widow Tweed stumps through the trees.
Todd! Todd? Todd! Oh, Todd! Thank heaven you're safe.
Night. Yellow light glows from the window of Amos's ramshackle house. Copper sits alone, sagging miserably by his barrel. Amos flings open his door and stamps out. His eyes are staring and his teeth gritted. He carries his gun in his right hand.
Oh, poor Chief. That's all my fault. I shouldn't have let Todd go.
From his roost in a tree, Dinky wakes to see Amos storming along beneath him.
Big Mama, wake up, wake up. There's trouble.
Widow Tweed sits knitting in a rocker in her kitchen, wearing slippers and a purple cardigan. Todd snoozes in a basket by the stove. Suddenly, his eyes open wide and he darts away.
Todd! What is it? What on earth?
Widow! Get out here!
Why, Amos! What are you...
Where is he? Where is he? I know he's in there.
Now, just a minute. You can't come barging onto my property, Amos Slade.
That fox of yours almost killed Chief, and I'm gonna get him. You can't keep him locked up forever.
Todd cowers under the stove. The widow leans back against the door, smiles at him, then closes her eyes sadly. Morning. Widow Tweed looks into a mirror while she puts on a violet hat with a flower. Wedged in the mirror frame is a photo of Todd with his first birthday cake. She wakes Todd and carries him out to her red pickup. It's bright and sunny outside, and Todd peers around eagerly as they drive past the barn and away from the farm. Next door, Copper sleeps in front of his barrel. Amos carries a stack of logs. He glances at the pickup, frowns, then stares at it before going inside. In the pickup, Todd rushes from the back window to the side, gazing out inquisitively.
We met, it seems, such a short time ago. You looked at me, needing me so. Yet from your sadness, our happiness grew. And I found out I needed you too. I remember how we used to play. I recall those rainy days. The fire's glow that kept us warm. And now I find we're both alone. Goodbye may seem forever. Farewell is like the end, but in my heart's the memory, and there you'll always be.
They drive over a wooden bridge, out of the sunshine, into a wood. The pickup stands empty. Widow Tweed carries Todd deeper into the shadows. His ears droop, and he licks her face. She hugs him tight, puts him down, and takes off his collar. She kneels and gives Todd a hug, stands up and plods slowly away, wiping her eyes. Todd trots after her. She turns and wags her finger at him. He sits, ears and mouth drooping, as she goes. Widow Tweed looks back at Todd, and a tear trickles from her eye. Todd watches her go with his head on one side. In the distance, lightning flashes. A few dead leaves scurry by. Todd turns and huddles against a tree trunk as rain starts to fall. He watches a duck slip into a pond. Her four ducklings plop in after her. A pheasant scurries along, holding out her wings to protect her chicks, and a red squirrel bounds over the ground, up a tree, along a branch, and leaps through the air to another tree, the branches bending beneath it. Water splashes onto Todd's head. He shakes himself and trots away. A porcupine peers down at him from a hole in a tree. Todd spots a little cave on a rock ledge. He stands on his hind legs and peeps in. Four raccoons stare out of the cave and Todd turns away. Rain runs down his face and drips off his nose and ears. Tall pines stand black against a silvery white flash of lightning. Todd's fur stands on end. He sees a hole in a grassy bank and shoots into it.
Hold it, Sonny! Back off!
Come, Sonny, where do you think you're going?
Oh, excuse me. I was just trying to...
Get on somebody's house like you want it. Carry hooting around them wood, waking up folks in the middle of the night.
I honestly didn't know anybody lived here. And I...
Well, you know it now. Now get off my property. Go on. Beat it.
Todd backs away from the badger.
I've been watching you, sir. You can stay with me if you want to.
That's very nice of you.
I can come with me.
The short, plump porcupine waddles off, its quills swaying. At his farm, Amos squats beside Copper and watches the bright lights of Widow Tweed's pickup come down the track and turn into her yard.
Drop that fox off in the game preserve. We'll get him. We'll get him.
From a window, Chief sees Amos and Copper heading for the house. He hobbles to a patched pillow leaning against a barrel and slowly lowers himself onto it. His left hind leg is covered in white plaster and he arranges it carefully on a little cushion.
Well, now, if you've got to have a busted leg, this is the way to do it. Good food, soft pillow, warm stove. Sure beats sleeping in that barrel. Well, now, here comes visitors to see the invalid. How do you like that? They didn't even ask how I'm feeling.
Chief drags his bad leg into the kitchen.
Chief, get back in there before I break your other leg. Copper, look at here.
Amos opens a metal trap.
Now, when that fox comes traipsing along, suspecting nothing...
The The sharp metal teeth of the trap lie flat. When Amos dabs a piece of wood on the plate between them, they crunch it in half. Pink clouds streak the morning sky.
Todd?
Big Mama flops onto a branch.
Oh, boy. These old wings ain't what they used to be. Big Mama, you better lose a few pounds.
Oh, there he is. Todd! Todd!
Oh, hi, Big Mama.
Oh, it's you, Vixie.
Hey, what brings you way out here?
I'm looking for a fox named Todd. He's new here in the forest.
Oh, new? Well, what does he look like?
Oh, he's young. About your age. And handsome.
Handsome? Oh, say, gee, he sure sounds nice. I'm not doing anything. I'll help you find him.
Come along. He's got to be around here somewhere.
Big Mama sails out of her tree, and the sleek and dainty Vixie runs beneath her. Todd is curled up in a tree hole. The porcupine pushes off Todd's thick tail. He stretches and leans back against the sleeping Todd. Todd backs away from the porcupine and falls out of the tree, landing on the badger's hole. The grey badger with black eye stripes and white eyebrows bursts from his hole, butting Todd off.
So, it's you again. You barged in on me last night, and now you...
I didn't mean to.
Just look at them. The mess you made.
Twigs and leaves fall into his hole.
Dad rat, you clumsy bonehead.
I'm sorry. It was an accident.
Excuses.
Mr. Digger, sir, it was so too an accident.
You keep out of this, you walking pincushion.
You shouldn't be so grumpy to someone who's new in the neighborhood.
A stranger, eh? Why don't you go back where you came from?
Well,
Get going! Get!
Todd mooches off to a little clearing in the wood. The porcupine shakes his head sadly. Todd sits staring at the ground. From behind a bush, Vixie and Big Mama watch him.
Oh, gosh, he seems so... I don't know, so downhearted, Big Mama.
Well, you can't blame him, honey. He was dropped out here and left all alone without a friend in the world.
Well, you know, maybe there's something I could do, you know, cheer him up.
Honey, you just said the magic words.
Big Mama drags Vixie out from the bush and whispers in her ear.
What? Oh, but Big Mama, I don't
know. Darling, don't move. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Morning, Todd.
Oh, hello, Big Mama.
Last night was pretty miserable for you, wasn't it, honey?
Just terrible.
Cheer up and look around. The forest is beautiful this morning.
After last night, nothing looks beautiful.
Todd spots Vixie sitting in a shaft of sunlight by a stream.
Wow. Who is that?
Oh, just another fox. A lady fox.
Golly. Is she beautiful? I wonder what her name is.
Well, why don't you go ask her?
Yeah, guess I will. I'll go up to her and I'll say, you're the most gorgeous... the most beautiful of I've never seen anyone anywhere. I'll say hi.
Hello. Big
I just
Mama
happened
told
to be
me, you know.
May I call you by your first name?
Oh, sure, why not?
Thanks. What is your first name?
Vixie.
Vixie. My name is Todd.
Todd? That's a nice name, Todd.
It looks like that farm boy is making it big with her.
Just keep it down.
Todd, you know something? This street, you think you could catch one?
One what?
One what? Fish, silly.
Oh, yeah. My dear young lady, you happen to be looking at an expert fisher fox.
Oh, Todd, don't overdo it.
I know all the tricks, and in fact, I never miss.
Please let him catch a fish.
Oh, here comes a whopper. Now, watch closely.
Todd takes a swipe at the fish, misses it, and falls in. He shoots through a hollow log, grabbing for the fish.
Todd, do you need help?
No, I do it this way all the time.
He splashes Big Mama and comes up with a stick in his mouth.
I got him.
Oh, that farm boy, he don't know nothing about the fishing. He ain't gonna hook her that way.
Oh, gosh. Todd, you're the funniest thing I ever saw.
Go ahead and laugh. You're like everyone else around here.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. You are so funny.
So I can't fish. You're a silly, empty-headed female.
Hey, just a minute. I mean, you've got a nerve. Why don't you grow up?
Todd, that's no way to talk to Vixie.
Oh, raspberries. I've had it.
Honey, don't stay mad. You gotta be natural. That's the trick. Can't you see?
When you have a natural attraction, you deserve a mutual reaction. You're gonna get a whole lot of satisfaction. Here's all you gotta do. When you feel that natural affection lead you in the positive direction, you gotta stop showing off, start showing up with little old natural you. Yes, you gotta appreciate the lady, and now that is a natural fact. 'Cause when you be yourself with a lady, yeah, you gonna get appreciated right back.
Todd and Vixie snuggle up together.
Big Mama,
it's just getting interesting.
Big Mama shoos Dinky and Boomer away. Boomer sits tight until Dinky grabs his head feathers. Boomer shrugs and goes.
Todd, I just know you're gonna love the forest. Listen, come on, let me show you around.
Sure.
Vixie springs over the stream on stepping stones. Todd splashes across. They stop to watch a quail and her chicks cross their path.
Look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I think 6 would be just right.
6? 6 what?
They stroll around a bend in the river as evening falls. Sitting close together under a tree with clumps of small pink flowers dotted around, they gaze up at a high, tumbling waterfall and the huge full moon hanging above it. A fallen tree makes a dark stripe across the silver water just below the top of the falls, and pointed pine trees are silhouetted like arrows against the pale yellow moon and the dark blue sky. Night falls. Morning mist hangs among the trees as Amos reads a sign on the game preserve fence.
No hunting. Well, now, we ain't gonna do none of that, are we, Copper? We're just gonna get us a no-good fox. All right, boy, get tracking. Smell him out.
Amos cuts the bottom strand of barbed wire, and Copper, who is fawn underneath, light brown above with a darker patch along his back, walks under the fence with his nose to the ground. Amos follows, gun in hand. Copper slowly sniffs his way through the forest, checking paths and tree trunks. The tall trees cast patches of shade on the brown forest floor and on the slabs of grey rock that jut up from the ground among them. Copper wanders up a low bank, plods down again, moves away to the left and sniffs at a hollow tree. The porcupine watches from his hole and backs further into it as the dog passes underneath. Amos follows, treading carefully and looking around him. Copper stops on a path between some rocks and the river. He sniffs around and bares his teeth.
What you got there, Copper?
Amos drops several traps and looks at the ground.
Good work, boy. He'll be coming right through here heading for water. But he won't be drinking any.
On the edge of a sunny clearing, a big tree stands above an outcrop of rock. Todd pops out from a hole in the rocks and stretches. Vixie follows him.
What a beautiful morning, Vixie. You know, I've never been happier.
Oh, Todd, me too.
They touch noses and trot away side by side. Amos sets the last of five traps.
That does it. Amos, you crafty old coot. The devil himself couldn't have done no better.
At the top of a rise, Vixie halts.
Todd? Todd, wait a minute.
What is it, Vixie?
I don't want to go in there. It's too quiet.
Ah, Vixie.
Amos covers the traps with leaves.
What?
Todd, be careful.
The path runs like a tunnel under overhanging trees. Todd steps cautiously along it, inspecting the slopes on either side and looking back at Vixie, who watches and waits. Todd creeps more and more slowly. Amos is lying behind a rock with his gun cradled in his arms. Todd's feet uncover one of the traps, but he doesn't see it. He stops and listens, with one paw hovering above another trap. Amos loads. The steel traps miss Todd.
Dad flash and he's getting away!
Quick, Vixie!
The two foxes fly back along the path with Copper just a few yards behind.
Go on, head for the burrow!
Vixie flees. Todd lies flat on a rock above the path, then leaps at the much bigger Copper. They circle each other, crouching low to the ground, sharp teeth gleaming. Copper lunges. Todd twists aside and bites Copper's throat. The fox races to his earth and plunges into it. Copper gets stuck in the entrance and starts digging. Todd and Vixie gape as the hound gets closer. They squeeze through the burrow and peer out at the other entrance.
Todd!
They dive back in.
Oh, no, Todd.
Todd sinks his teeth in Copper's foreleg. Copper jumps back, then hurls himself at the hole. Amos stuffs dry grass into the other entrance and sets light to it. He fans the fire with his hat. Smoke and flame sweep down the tunnel.
Copper, copper. We got him now for sure. This is their only way out. Steady, boy. Steady. Get ready.
Todd! We're trapped.
Todd,
I'm scared.
This is our only chance.
They burst out through the fire.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Todd and Vixie tear uphill with Copper close behind. They leap and slip and scramble up a steep rocky slope and reach a small plateau. At the edge lies the tree trunk which crosses the waterfall. Todd jumps up onto a low branch beside the tree trunk and down onto the trunk itself. Vixie follows him, almost sliding off the trunk and over the falls. They both disappear along the trunk. Copper reaches the plateau. He sniffs the ground, casting back and forth, and notices the branch. He stretches up and catches the scent of the foxes. Amos arrives and aims along the trunk.
Copper, we trapped him now!
A dark shadow blankets Amos. Amos wounds a massive black bear which looms over him. The huge creature, red eyes glaring, surges forward and lands a clumping blow. Amos crashes down the slope and drops his gun. He steps back and the jagged teeth of a trap bite into his ankle. Amos struggles to open the trap as the bear sways forward. Copper jumps between them. Copper grabs the bear's throat and it lifts him high in the air, then swipes him away with its huge forepaw. Copper attacks again and again, biting the bear's throat, its neck and its lip, before the bear throws him off and heads for Amos, mouth open, showing its teeth like great white daggers. Amos ducks and scrabbles for his gun, which is stuck behind a sapling. Copper attacks and the bear hurls him onto a rock. Halfway up the mountain, Todd stops and looks back. Copper struggles to stand, then collapses as the mighty bear rolls towards him, saliva dripping from its great fangs. Todd streaks down the mountain, hurls himself onto the bear's shaggy back and sinks his teeth in its ear. The bear smashes Todd into the ground and flings him against a tree. Todd scrambles up the mountain, but slips and slides down underneath the bear. He nips in and out under the bear's feet, running over its back to escape as they climb higher until the bear sends him hurtling through the air. He lands on the edge of the falls by the trunk which lies across the water. Todd leaps at the bear. He bites its nose and grabs it by the ear. The bear catches Todd with its paw and he flies over the waterfall, crashing onto the tree trunk. Todd shakes his head and looks up to see the huge black bear lumbering through the mist towards him. One branch holding the trunk breaks, shaking Todd loose. He slips and clings to the broken stump hanging above the falls as the bear rumbles nearer. It takes one mighty swing at Todd. The trunk breaks. Todd, the bear and the tree all hurtle down into the churning mass of white water below. Downstream in a placid pool, near the spot where Todd and Vixie once sat at nightfall, a bedraggled Todd crawls slowly through the calm, pale blue water. In the shallows, close to the bank, he tries to stand, then sprawls flat. Copper arrives on the bank. Against a background of yellow sunshine on the calm water and the faint outlines of trees through the mist, they stare at each other. Todd looks up into the barrel of Amos's gun. Copper looks too and strides out to stand beside Todd.
Come on, Copper. Get out of the way.
Copper moves directly in front of Todd and stares up at Amos. Sighting down the barrel of the gun, Amos, who has lost his hat, stares back. Slowly, Amos drops the gun from his shoulder, scowls, closes his eyes, then looks down at Copper. He steps forward and gently pats Copper on the head.
Well, come on, boy. Let's go home.
Gritting his teeth, Amos limps away. Copper follows. On the bank, Copper stops and looks back at Todd, who pushes himself up into a sitting position and smiles lopsidedly at Copper. Copper smiles back, then walks on behind Amos, still smiling. The light grows dimmer as Todd makes for the water's edge, heading in the opposite direction from Amos and Copper. Before Copper disappears into the forest, he and Todd both turn and gaze at each other. A sunny summer morning, Big Mama's tree is smothered in cream-colored blossom. In her hole, Big Mama sleeps with her wings folded across her round tummy, which rises and falls with each breath. She wakes, blinking hard. She peers out at Dinky and Boomer, who are inspecting a hole in the next tree.
Shh, this is it. We got him for sure now.
They squint into the hole.
Oh my gosh!
Wow!
Blue and pink sparkles erupt.
What happened?
A butterfly sails out and sits on Boomer's beak.
Hey, there's something very familiar about those eyes.
Squeaks now has a blue body and light blue wings, edged with royal blue.
It couldn't be. Could it?
Dazzling pink ovals, outlined in white, decorate the underside of Squeak's wings.
Bye, Squeak. Bye. Good luck, honey.
You're killing me! Don't!
Amos Slade, are you hold still? You're behaving like a child.
Well, for God's sakes, you're hurting my foot, woman.
Nonsense! Your foot is mending fine. You'll soon be yourself. Oh, land sakes. I don't know if I like that.
Oh, be careful! Out!
He's sure making a big fuss over a little hurt leg.
Copper looks away from Chief and shakes his head. He settles down with his chin on his paws. His eyelids half open. He smiles and closes them again.
Forever.
On a grassy ledge high above the valley, a fox sits under a tree. A second, smaller fox joins him, and the two of them nuzzle each other gently as they look down at Big Mama's tree and the farmhouses of Amos and Widow Tweed. The end. Walt Disney Productions. Audio description written by Peter Wickham, read by Di Langford. Engineer, David Harrison. Fox and Hound art director, Don Griffith. Layout, Dan Hansen, Glenn V. Vilpu, Sylvia Roma, Guy Vasilovich, Michael Peraza Jr., Joe Hale. Songs, Best of Friends. Music, Richard O. Johnston. Lyrics, Stan Fidel. Lack of Education, A Hunting Man, and Appreciate the Lady. Music and Lyrics, Jim Stafford. Goodbye May Seem Forever. Music, Richard Rich. Lyrics, Jeffrey Patch. Copyright 1981, Walt Disney Productions. All rights reserved. RAC Photophone Recording, IATSE. MPAA Certificate, 26149.